Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we have on the line with us in the war room for the first time, Greg Wyszynski. He is the editor of Puck Daddy. That's the blog on YahooSports.com. Greg, what's going on?
How you doing? It's good to be here. It's obviously like Christmas morning for hockey fans.
No doubt. And like I said, you know, like I told you offline, you know, we had a few people asking us for a professional's take. I know, you know, you might not like to be called that, but, you know, a professional's take, an expert's take on what's about to go down in these hockey playoffs. So we'll get right into it. First of all, let's talk about the new format of the NHL playoffs. What are your thoughts on the new format? And for the people out there listening that really don't know what I'm talking about, I'll briefly explain it. And Greg, anything I say wrong, you can correct me. But they've gone more into like an NCAA bracket style, because the NHL used to reseed like the NFL does. So the teams who earn the best, you know, seed throughout the playoffs, they basically get the easiest road if they keep winning. Well, now they've reseeded. They kind of have regions based on divisions, correct?
Yeah, correct. They do it geographically as best as they can. I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to call a division the Atlantic Division when you got Montreal and Tampa Bay in the same division. I mean, neither of those cities are even on the Atlantic, right? But, yeah, they're doing it geographically, and they're doing it, like you said, with no reseeding is the phrase that I'd probably use. And the NCAA comparison is pretty good, because I think they did this partially in the hopes that people find a way to gamble on hockey, or at least find a way to start an office pool around the NHL playoffs. I mean, you go to NHL.com, they got bracket all over the place, so that's the hope there. So, yeah, it's an interesting format. They have some wild cards involved, a little bit complicated when it comes to that sort of thing. But essentially what it means is that if you're a team like Boston that had the most points in their conference, you don't get a guaranteed second-round matchup against the team with the lowest amount of points left. You're locked into playing whoever wins the Montreal-Tampa series, and probably you're going to have one of those teams have more points than another team left in the draw. So it's kind of not protecting the top seeds, which kind of makes me a little bit wary about it.
And also, isn't it kind of making it, well, I guess it is impossible now for two teams from the same division to play each other in, like, the conference finals?
That's right. But, I mean, that's part of the whole gist of this thing and why they're doing it, is that they're more concerned about trying to force divisional matchups early in the playoffs, kind of guarantee that you are going to get these feuds, these rivalries,
right,
early on to kind of whet your appetite for what comes later. And so far, so good. I mean, they got Philly and the Rangers, the Kings and the Sharks, the Blues and the Blackhawks. Those are three marquee rivalries that this new format has produced in the first round. So, yeah, you can't get the Flyers and Rangers to play in a conference final necessarily, although there is a chance that could happen in a roundabout way through this wild card format. Again, it's complicated, but basically you could have teams in one division kind of play in the other division depending on how many playoff teams there are in each division. Complicated, like I said, but if you look at the bracket, it kind of makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, I totally get that. My thing was this, though. Does it kind of like, I don't want to say makes it less important, but the thing about getting a number one seed in most sports is to get that ride to, you know, well, not to say an easy ride, but an easier ride to the finals. Does it kind of like get rid of that, the whole power of having number one seed?
Completely. It does, obviously the NHL would tell you that the number one seed still gets benefits. I mean, you know, if the Boston Bruins make the Cup final, they'll have home ice advantage. They'll have home ice advantage throughout the playoff. There are, of course, benefits to winning your conference and having the most points. That said, you know, the idea that you're going to have the easiest path to the final doesn't exist anymore, because you're locked into this divisional format no matter what you do. So, yeah, there are drawbacks. It doesn't necessarily protect the top seeds, but it certainly does promote rivalry games early on in the playoffs, and it certainly does promote a bit of parity too, because you're not going to have these juggernaut teams knocking off teams that have lower numbers of points all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I believe that on each side, and on the Western Conference, Anaheim had the most points on that side, and Boston
the
Eastern Conference. Would it be safe to say that these two teams are the favorites to make the finals in each conference, or would you have another opinion on that?
Well, Boston definitely. Like, Boston comes into this thing without question the favorite in the Eastern Conference, which is kind of funny because they played Detroit in the first round, and while everybody thinks the Boston's the cream of the crop and the team built to win, it probably wouldn't surprise many hockey fans to see Detroit win that series, only because of the Red Wings. I mean, they've got the best coach. They've got Pavel Datsyuk, who's one of the best players. And they've just got this 23 straight years of making the playoffs. They're an elite.
They have history.
Yeah, they got history. And they're an elite team. And they're really well coached. And it wouldn't surprise anybody to see them knock off Boston, even if Boston goes in that series as the heavy favorite. Anaheim, though, doesn't get the same kind of respect. They've got a big point total. They're a great regular season team. But their coach, Bruce Boudreau, has done this before. He used to do this with the Washington Capitals, where they'd have crazy great point totals in the regular season, go to the playoffs, and then get crapped out in the first round. And I think there's an expectation that that might happen to this team. You know, there's not a lot of confidence that they're going to be able to be a team just because they're the top seed that makes it all the way through. I think you talk to people, the Sharks, the Kings, the Blackhawks, those three teams get a lot more respect as far as being Stanley Cup contenders than do the Anaheim Ducks.
Okay. Well, see, that brings me right to my question. We talked about the number one seeds, but in your opinion, could you just give us a couple of dark horse teams from each conference that could surprise everybody and make it, you know, all the way to the finals?
Sure. You know, it's tough to say dark horses when you're dealing with teams that have, you know, similar point totals and that everybody kind of knows. But if you're looking at teams that might be a bit under the radar as far as making a cup run, I mean, no one really knows what to expect out of the Colorado Avalanche. They're the second seed in the West, but again, not a team that necessarily gets all the respect for being the second seed. And mm-hmm. they're kind of an unknown because they have a rookie coach in Patrick Waugh. They've got a goaltender in Semyon Varlamov, who basically came into his own this year and has been amazing. And they've got a collection of really great young, talented kids, basically, that for a lot of them, this is their first playoff run. So they could be a real boom or bust team, and I think that they're not exactly mentioned in the same breath as Chicago or Los Angeles or San Jose, but they're definitely a team that could prove everybody wrong in the sense that they're the real deal.
Okay. I'll be looking out for them. So, it sounds like they can go one way or the other. They could either surprise us and make it all the way, or, you know, with the inexperience, be gone soon.
Yeah, there's a few teams like that. I mean, Anaheim's like that in a sense. St. Louis is like that in a sense. I mean, St. Louis is a team that for a long time this season looked like a juggernaut. Then they all got hurt towards the end of the year and looked very human, and now they draw Chicago in the first round. So there's a lot of boom or bust teams in this tournament. That's what kind of makes it fun.
So, Jimmy, I think by omission, I think Greg is just telling us that there's no chance for our Flyers. No chance.
They're a funny team, right? Like, I mean, everybody had them written off early this season, and then they fire the coach, Craig Groovy comes in, Claude Giroux wakes up, and all of a sudden starts playing like an MVP. The thing that holds everybody back from giving the Flyers love is the goaltending. I mean, Steve Mason, their goalie, plays above expectation. He's clearly not the joke that everybody made him out to be when he was in Columbus. But when you're in a series and looking across the ice at Henrik Lundqvist of the Rangers, it's hard to really buy into Philly as an option to emerge from that series when the Rangers have such an advantage between the pipes. But, you know, Philly's another team this season that's a real hobby at of proving everybody wrong. And again, it wouldn't surprise anybody. And what should be a pretty contentious series with their rivals, wouldn't surprise anybody to see them emerge in that series victorious.
City's
okay,
cursed.
So let's ask you this, though. You gave us a great analysis of this playoffs, but in your opinion, before it all starts, who will walk away with the cup?
All right, so my picks before the season were Boston and San Jose to make the final. And because they're both still alive, I feel an obligation to make those my picks again. Boston,
understood.
Boston I feel pretty confident about. I still think they're the class of the conference, and I think they'll make it through. San Jose, because they didn't get the top seed in their division, they draw Los Angeles in the first round. That's a real tough matchup for them. Last time these two teams played in the playoffs, it went seven games. The home team won every home game. It was a brutally tough, tightly played series, and I'm not exactly confident they'll get past the Kings, but I'll stick with that pick. And if they do match up in the final against Boston, I have San Jose, who's been pretty much a gigantic tease for the last 14 years as far as being a cup contender. I have them finally winning. I think this is one of the best teams they've put together, and I like the way they play. And I think this could be the year. If they can get past this matchup with the Kings, this could be the year for the Sharks to finally break through and win the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Okay, all right, we got the Sharks. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, or I could be completely wrong and be bitter about. That's the beauty of picking the Sharks, right? The beauty is that you can pick them and be right, and then you look real smart, and you can pick them and be wrong and be like, ah, there I did it. I fell for them again. Everybody falls for them at some point. Like, everybody thinks they can win at some point, and then everybody's been wrong with them at some point, too. So you don't feel that stupid picking them.
All right, well, we're definitely looking forward to the playoffs, you know, mainly because of the new format. I want to see how that goes down. It seems like over the past 5 years or so, the NHL has been the one of the major four leagues in America that hasn't been afraid to tinker with tradition. You know, they've done it with the All-Star game. You know, now they're doing it with the playoffs. So, you know, we're kind of curious to see how it all plays out. But, Greg, before we get you out of here, just tell everybody, you know, where they can find your work, where they can find you on social media. Just do your commercial, basically.
Well, Puck Daddy Blogs on Yahoo Sports are part of the series of blogs there, like Ball Don't Lie and Shutdown Corner and a few others. And we blog every day, you know, multiple posts a day. My whole plan is to give you something new every hour when you're at work so you don't get stuck at your desk being bored. We do a podcast called the Marek versus Wyszynski podcast. If you look up my partner, Jeff Marek's last name, M-A-R-E-K, on iTunes, you can find the podcast there. And we do that every day from 2 to 3 live, and then you can find it on iTunes later on. And then on Twitter, it's my last name, W-Y-S-H-Y. N-S-K-I. It's not straight hockey. It's my own account, so I put a bunch of pop culture and movie stuff and beer and food and whatever's on my mind on there, too. So it's a pretty decent feed, and just have fun, you know, having fun with it. I've been doing this thing for a bit, and it's a fun job, and, you know, it's never a boring time when you're a hockey writer for some reason. These guys don't seem to understand the concept of an off season, so it's a year-round business.
Your Twitter account sounds like mine. People probably go expecting sports. Like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
It's those nights when I'm, like, live tweeting the Oscars or something where people are like, I thought I was following you for hockey. I'm like, well, it's not my fault that they decided to put the Oscars on tonight instead.
Exactly.
Well, Greg, Jimmy and I, we did a whole video webcast on our YouTube channel doing Oscar predictions. So you're not alone with that. I'll send that to you. You can see how we did. But
it's the greatest joy in life, really, to be a hockey writer that people read and then be able to tweet about inappropriate photos tweeted out by the U.S. Airways Twitter account.
This is true.
That was hilarious. Yeah. I mean, we have a voice. You know, use it for whatever you deem necessary. But again, we'd like to thank you for, you know, coming into the war room and dropping some of this hockey knowledge on our audience. Like I said earlier, especially on short notice. But you are welcome in the war room anytime, and we will be in touch. So thanks again, Greg.
Thanks,
much
Greg.
Appreciate it. Thanks for take care.
All right. Enjoy those playoffs.
Yo.
All right. That's Greg Wyszynski, everybody, from the Puck Daddy blog on Yahoo
Let's
Sports.
Let's go, Flyers!
Yes, sir.
All right. I'll cut it there. But I want